Public Safety Committee to order. And with us right now, Councilwoman Diller, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Weiner, President Bullock, and my trustee, right hand, left hand, Sharnice Jackson, is taking the minutes. And Pastor, I know you're probably going to do this tonight, and you may probably do it again, but I think since this is public safety, that we should take a moment of silence for the victims in Florida.
Yes.
Victims and their families.
Yes.
With that, what's your pleasure on this?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Like to recognize the presence of Councilman Pro Tem Hollins.
Sir.
There's a motion to approve the minutes, which is all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? First item on the agenda is 16-054. It's under the sponsorship of myself and Councilman Bell. Amend the grants budget, appropriate $55,000, and which is the value of 50 donated fingerprint scanners from the state of Delaware Department of Safety and Homeland Security to the donated Morph Ident fingerprint scanners grant for the Department of Public Safety. Comments, questions? Seeing none, hearing none, I'm going to move right along to 16-055. And it's under the sponsorship of myself and Councilman Bell. Amend the grants budget, appropriating an additional $65,000 in federal funding from the Department of Homeland Security, Federal Emergency Management Agency, to the Emergency Management Fiscal Year 2016 grant. Any questions, comments, concerns from council members? Seeing none, hearing none, I'm going to move to 16-056. Amend the annual fiscal year 2017 operating budget, reduced the fiscal year 2017 appropriation to the Department of Public Safety, Office of Emergency Management, by $427,490 to provide the annual county match for the Office of Emergency Management grant for fiscal year 2017. Questions, concerns, comments from council members? Moving right along to 16-057, amend the grants budget, appropriate $267,000 in federal funding from the Department of Homeland Security, Federal Emergency Management Agency, $420,000 in local funding from Newcastle County, and $41,900 in private funding from the Public Service Enterprise Group, PSEG Nuclear, to fund the operations of the Office of Emergency Management for fiscal year 2017. Questions, comments, concerns? Item number 7 is 16-062, amend the grants budget, appropriate $557,500 to the contracted police duty revolving fund, which is administered by the Department of Public Safety. Questions, concerns from council members? Councilman Cartier.
So this fund, which is the pay extra duty policing, we anticipate the funding every year and fund this, and then we know we have a history of this amount of funding required, and we build the different recipients of that service as we go through the year.
I'm going to give deference to the chief. I think you're correct, but chief, you want to comment on it?
My apologies, Council. Colonel Homer, Setting Chief of Police. Just repeat the question for me.
The methodology here, we pre-fund the account and then bill as the service is provided.
So that the officers that work the jobs can be paid in a timely fashion. We don't deal with anybody that doesn't pay their bills, so to speak. So
right.
Yes, the money will be refunded.
And that's an anticipated amount based on prior year?
That's correct, sir.
Is that going up or going down? Or
it's pretty much the same. It's a slight increase due to the rate increase.
Okay.
But yeah. we're still below the average cost of a police officer in Delaware.
We're at $70 an hour now for extra
I think my memory says yes to that. I can double check it and send you a formal email, Councilman, to make sure you don't give you any bad information.
Thank you.
Councilman Smile.
Yeah, Councilman Streetman, co-chair of finance. How do you know?
Yeah.
Public safety. I'd just like to clarify with your indulgence that this piece of legislation will be introduced tonight. Thus, we'll be voting on June 28th. The reason this way is because we don't have a public safety meeting between now and then. So just for the recorded record, just so you know. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for that clarification. Item number 8 is Resolution 16-100. Again, it's under the sponsorship of myself and Co-Chairman Bell, authorizing County Executive to execute a sales agreement and other documents necessary to purchase property located in Newcastle, Delaware at 100 Morris Lane, tax parcel number, and to be used to enhance the safety and use of the Corporal Sweeney Public Safety Building. And we had talked about this before. This is purchasing the land adjacent to the public safety building and to eliminate that basically wooded area that is looked upon by the department as a potential safety hazard. Cool. Councilman Cartier.
Just to refresh my memory, is that about a 5-acre parcel?
It's 4.98. Steve Rubel, Department of Special Services.
Councilman Smile, that's the hearing?
Oh, yeah, I was just curious here. Please see it, but now where was it? I lost it. In looking at the document, I'm assuming that the county's going to lease it because, and I'm pleased to see that the buyer is Tracy Searles. So I guess this is going to be a gift to the county. So I certainly appreciate that. I'd feel comfortable saying that since she's not in the room. So, but it was her as the buyer, so I like that.
Look, she just told me, you'll get used to me. Either that or you'll leave me. Most of the women don't.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, moving along, we're having an update from Emergency Telecommunications Training Academy and the new 911 telephone system, and that'll be presented by Chief Miller.
Thank you, Council. Yes, Jeff Miller, Chief of Emergency Communications Division. The Director of Public Safety asked that I give you an update about our training academy, basically because it's exciting for us. It's the first one we've ever done. It began this past Saturday. I was away in Cape Henlopen on vacation, but our training coordinator and our trainees began educating 15 people from the community we serve in a emergency telecommunicators course that will eventually, after approximately 50 hours of education, get them certified as emergency telecommunicators. They'll be pre-certified before we advertise our emergency call operator positions in July, late July, early August. And then we will be having a requirement that if you do have a 40-hour telecommunicator class, you go to the top of the list of the people coming from the outside. The reason we felt it very important to update Council, the money came from Councilman Smiley and Councilman Bell to get the materials to make the class free to the public so that it didn't cost them anything. I think we participated in a dozen job fairs, all the ones that Newcastle County has been participating in. Two of them were in PAL locations. So we have a really great, diverse group of people that are in this class right now. I think HR and the police department did 120 people through backgrounds. So we did some people out that way. But at the end of the day, we literally had 15, almost really 20 people very well committed to saying, hey, I want to take this class. I want to do it on my own time and come in and learn about the communication center. And I think when we're done hiring this next time, we're going to see a group of people that are going to come, have good knowledge, skills, and abilities in advance, and they're going to want to stay because they're going to have a clear understanding of what that position is, and the sense of seriousness and urgency that we handle on the phones each and every day. but also have a very good understanding of the mental toll that it can take on you as well. So we wanted to get you up to date on that, and before you meet again on June 29th, our phone system, this is part of a statewide upgrade, but our phone system will leave copper telephone wires and move over and transition to the internet. Voice over IP telephone system, E911 system. It'll have the same capabilities that we have today. We have multiple diversity coming into our facility, so there's no single point of failure with the phone system. This will be the third phone system upgrade I have been involved in, and we're going to follow the same footpath we've done with the last two. We've been successful without losing any calls or having a delay in service. So I felt it necessary for you to know that, because this will take place, like I said, again at about 4 in the morning on June 29th. And with that said, we won't be accepting them just yet, but this phone system will allow us the capabilities of accepting text messages from cellular devices.
Interesting.
We need all the 911 centers to be up and running before we need to do it as a state together. See, it wouldn't be good to say, hey, Newcastle does it, but Kent and Sussex doesn't. So we will be a few months away from transitioning to the capability of text messaging for emergency services. And I'm open to any questions that anyone may have.
Councilman Warren.
Thank you. The transfer to VoIP. If internet were to go down, I know that's really a draconian, but is there a backup?
We have, we do have a very diverse delivery system to the building, and yes, we have multiple paths, we have multiple providers, so we're not stuck with one provider, and the actual hosted solution sits in Longmont, Colorado. So we have backup there, and if that site should fail, and we test failed that these past couple weeks, it fails to a facility in Florida, and there is no delay in the delivery of the phone call to our building.
Thank you.
Governor Howell.
Thank you, sir. Is the training academy ongoing, or is it tied to the next hiring?
It's tied to this next batch of hiring. We're going to train them for the, in advance of
And is that going to be the process going forward, or is this one shot?
I think this one's going to work, and I think that's, if this works the way we anticipate it working, and we end up, even if we get five people out of class that stay with us for a long period of time, it's well worth the investment.
Councilman Cartier.
So I understand the advantage to the internet-based phone system with the text messaging. Are there other advantages? Are there other ways that technology can be exploited for voice communication or emergency calls? Or
the other advantages to it is currently today, and it's no secret that we can't really abandon our 911 center to any one location, because there's no other center that has the number of 911 trunks necessary to handle the phone volume that we handle. So we always had to break out into multiple locations, which is typically very time consuming. It takes a long time to transition to do that. But going to the voice over IP solution, I'll literally be able to put four people in Wilmington in about 10 minutes. Within 20 to 30, maybe 40 minutes, get people down to Kent Center. But what the phone system we'll be logging into will look just like we have today. All the phone lines will be available to us. Whereas today, we can only throw half of our 911 phone lines to Wilmington, and then the other half have to go to Kent Center.
So it has a redundancy that's unmatched, or
yes.
What you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
No questions, comments from council members. Chief, thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
On to other. Does anybody other than me have anything on the other, Councilwoman Kilpatrick?
This just goes off of what Chief Miller said. Copper is coming out, and this is a discussion that we had maybe a year ago, that every time a piece of copper comes out, our tax base goes down, and this is why we need to, with the help of the state obviously, look at how we tax the internet as a county, because we tax stuff, and the internet is no longer stuff. The copper is stuff. The towers are stuff. But we need to keep this in mind, because once their copper's out, you know that this is just going to be growing and growing.
I have something on the other. And I know that the chief, and I've already told the director, you're not going to be happy. But let me preface this by saying, first time I went to a funeral for teenagers was in 1996. And two of my kids from the center were found murdered in Rockford Park. I had to bring remarks at both services. The first one I went to, I will never, as long as I keep my mind, forget the sound of that mother standing over her son. It took more than 3 years, closer to five, to get the killer. And by the time Wilmington put PD found him, he was already in jail for killing somebody else. Now, Chief, you got a lot of years in. Joe, you, I think, a year younger than I am. And I was going to leave this with y'all, but it's all of us. Is we're all in legacy mode now. Is part of our legacy going to be somebody walked into a community center at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, blew somebody away? We got a partial picture within days. This council put up $10,000 and that turned into $20,000 reward money. Is part of our legacy going to be that happened and we never got the shooter? And at this point, I don't give a flying care what the AG's office says. If nobody's coming forward to collect the money because it requires an arrest and a conviction, then make it, it's our money. Make it an arrest only. If you got to put up witness protection money and protect whoever comes forward, then so be it. But I'm a year and a half in. And I know y'all get calls, but I run into the family, not just the mother, but the family. I'm running into the staff of Rose Hill, and it's like we don't care. And I can't get any peace of mind until something's about done about it. So I'm gonna continue to reciprocate. Y'all ain't gonna get no peace, at least for me, till we do something above and beyond and get this person off the street. So that's where I am. And if that's gonna be our legacy, then so be it. I don't think it should be. That's not what I want as part of my legacy.
Colonel Setting, New Castle County Police, is not our legacy. It's our history is to be relentless in the pursuit of these homicides. We are probably one of the most technologically advanced police departments on the Eastern Seaboard. You need that technology because people do not talk to the police anymore. It's a culture of the youth not to speak to us. And the amount of distrust that is built up in the United States has added to that lack of communication. When a young man can stand outside the Brookside, their particular youth group was there at a rental hall and be shot in front of almost 200 witnesses. And they can Instagram a picture of this dead young man who is absolutely a true victim. Another case that we are relentless in pursuing. They put his picture out there as he lay dead on the macadam, and 200 people saw nothing. I respect your position, Councilman, and I'm going to do my job, and I will not let this case lie. And I will also tell everyone in this council that my operations major, Major Vaughn Bond, who's responsible for the deployment of 395 troops on a daily basis, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, spends an hour a week on the phone with that family, calls Mrs. Mangle, talks to them. We go back over to the community center. We have people in the developments. We talk, detectives are on the phone. They're on social media on a daily basis, following up every possibility. And we will not rest
until we do make an arrest on that shooter. And I do not believe that'll be our legacy. And I have had countless homicides over the 28 years that do not get cleaned up in an hour like they do on television. Respectively, we make arrests on some of them quickly if things come together, if the physical evidence is overwhelming. But in a case like this, where you have no witnesses that were willing to say anything, and you have someone so set on murdering this individual that he knew, I walked up and identified his target, walked past the police car, and shot him at point-blank range in front of two other people. No one saw anything. It's a very difficult case, very difficult. But are we finished with the case? No. We are relentless in pursuing that case. Director?
Yes, Director.
Director Bryant. I see her every Sunday in church. So I know we do talk to her. We've had the victim's children at our headquarters. Through our community services unit, and as the colonel said, it's ongoing. We have not forgotten what happened. We're working it continuously. The reward money, and we had a conversation with the Attorney General's office, and we've come to the conclusion, which I think is factual, that he can determine that reward money if it goes for just the arrest. Or arrest and conviction. The word's on the street. You tell us, we'll give you some money. We're not going to give you all. We're going to give you something. We have our community intervention workers out there working the streets, knocking on doors. They're having an event this coming Saturday.
Let me interrupt you and tell Muhammad and them it's part of their legacy, too.
Yeah, understand. And they understand that, too.
Either we get this solved or we don't.
We will never, ever, ever, and if you know us, if you folks from the state will know us, Newcastle County Police Department, especially this group here, we don't give up on anything. We will continue to search for the shooter. We will continue to. It will not go unsolved. We're gonna work hard, and we have. From day one, we have. So, you know, we know what we're facing, and the colonel alluded to it. Folks on the street aren't talking to us. That's part of the reason why we got the intervention workers out there. They don't talk to police. It's the way of life in some communities, and we can't change that. But we're not going to stop. We're not going to keep looking. We're going to find this guy, person, sooner or later. Our legacy is going to be we solved it. You can rest assured on that.
Well, I hope you're right.
I am. Trust me.
But you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep on squeaking.
And if I could, we have no problems in your early morning phone calls or bringing it up in this council, because we understand that you want this solved just as much as we do. We understand that, and we accept it. We take on that responsibility as a police organization, as leadership of this organization. We have to solve it. If we can't, you know, we have every right in the world for you and anyone else to yell and scream and point fingers at us, but we're going to work hard. That's the one thing you'll never not get from us. We will work hard every single day on not just this homicide, but every other homicide.
Took 5 years to arrest Frank Davenport after he killed Holly. 5 years it took us to prove that he did that. 5 years. Well, we did it. He's in prison for the rest of his life. And I know that that's not a perfect scenario, and it's not like television. But there isn't any case. There is no unsolved homicide that isn't haunting those detectives. And if you ever want to go down there and sit with them and see them poring over the files and poring over video clips over and over and over again, because they believe they've missed something, and you know it's torturous. I mean, they are tortured souls, and they don't take any of this lightly, sir. I can assure you, none of us do.
Yeah, perfect.
Councilman Cardi.
I can appreciate Councilman Street's frustration. I feel frustrated. I've had some homicides in my district, but I do have a lot of faith in the county police, though you are relentless. I know we exist in a culture where you know, public's not cooperating with police, and they don't inform, you give us information. I know that for a fact. I understand that, too. Given all this, these statements I made, and I know you can't comment on an ongoing investigation, but are you working some leads? Is there, it's not cold trail?
In which case, sir? In the case up north, we've identified that.
I know that.
You've got nothing but a body on that job. We track a guy down in Pittsburgh, find the car, find the bat, take the hair off it, compare. I mean, these are the types of things that are going
Absolutely.
On. I mean, you know, again, how long did that take, Councilman?
A while. It
took 3 years to find that guy up in Pittsburgh. And he's a hitman for hire. They're not easy cases. All he left behind was a body. Yes, we are actively working. That case, the Brookside case, they're all active cases where just every week those detectives have to update their supervisors. Their supervisors have to go to the captain in charge of detectives, and she has to brief the major, who has to brief me, and that's a weekly thing. There's complete and utter accountability. But in those cases, the accountability is part of what we do. But I can tell you, if you ever want to go down and sit down with one of these detectives that are working these homicides, you don't even need the accountability. All they do is work on these homicides. They never give up on them. I mean, we even have two detectives, a civilian and a primary detective assigned to cold cases. We've solved one of our cold cases. How old was that case? I mean, that's decades old, but we solved it.
Councilwoman Dill. And then Councilman Howell.
I just have a question about what are your options. Councilman Street mentioned witness protection. What are your options there? I'm just not sure. I mean, given the length of time, and I do believe somebody out there knows it, but what can you do for someone who would want to come forward?
This is where it gets confusing for folks that don't understand the legal world. The Attorney General's office is the only agency in Delaware that can charge anybody with murder. We may write the warrant. We may recommend that they be charged with murder, but the only charging agency has to be the Attorney General's office, and the Attorney General has to agree that based on the warrant that we write, based on the evidence that we found, that a person is being arrested for murder. As far as witness protection, same thing. The Attorney General's office has a special fund, and they agree to who should or should not be put into witness protection. Again, we can make a very strong recommendation. We have a good relationship with the Attorney General's office. I'm convinced if someone came forward, I'm not convinced, I have empirical evidence to this fact. When someone's come forward and said, look, I'm afraid, but you need to protect me, which happened in the case up north, the Attorney General's office puts that person into witness protection, and they pay for that out of their pockets, not ours. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of their functions. So we've done it where we've had people that had information that absolutely needed to be protected. We've moved people into other states, hotel rooms, the whole works, you know, be it for a small amount of time or a long extended period. But we are kind of the foot soldiers collecting the evidence, doing the interviews, then we present to the AG. The Attorney General decides if there's going to be an arrest in a particular case for murder or if there's going to be any charges at all. We recommend charges.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilman Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm pleased that Councilman Street did bring this up for some discussion because I think it helps to remind all of us the challenges that you face. I certainly believe that you guys work very hard to resolve these issues. I know it's frustrating for me, it's frustrating for you. I know there are several cases. And when we had the press conference at headquarters, there were several families there. One of the mothers of one of the young men was in an automobile, he was killed, his friend was injured, his friend saying he doesn't know what happened. So I think a lot of times it's perhaps the communications with police may be challenged, but I think the culture some of these people are in, they're afraid of who they know and, mm-hmm. and those things as well. So I think it's challenging, it's complex, it's sad, it's frustrating, but I know in that case, this mother has suffered tremendously, as well as I'm certain other families have when we were there at the headquarters. So I commend all the hard work you do. I continue to have confidence in what you're doing.
Thanks, sir.
And appreciating the challenge that you face. It's just a frustrating situation, but every now and then I think It's good to be reminded of it.
No, I expect this council to hold me accountable to do my job, and I will hold the, and I work with the director, we, you know, every single day. We sit down and talk about what we've done, what we have to do every single day. I have this conversation. I have 400 people in my charge, and, you know, anybody not pulling their weight, that's not acceptable. And I don't see that happen. I don't believe that's happening in our agency. These detectives are... And again, they are tortured souls. You think the families suffer. These detectives suffer through these cases. They become part of that family. They become, you know, part of that victim's inner circle by the time they're through this thing. They meet everybody they know. They work with the families. They interview everybody that could possibly be involved. It's tough. When you have two guys that were literally put into a car, duct taped, driven to a garage, one guy, their best friends, one guy shot dead. The other guy is shot in the face. They assume he's dead. He shot his eye out. And we say, you know, who shot you? He said, I'm not going to tell you. He said, listen, your best friend's dead, and whoever shot you is going to come back. You might want to tell us who it was. No, thank you. I'll handle it myself. That's a challenge. That's a challenge.
Pastor, I mean, I'm sorry. Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chief, is there anything you can think of that council can do to help?
Believe it or not, you know, council's done quite a bit by you know, going to your community meetings, by funding the DNA, the local DNA database that this council has funded, you know, by giving us the overhire in the academy so that we have the personnel to do this job, to continuously run class after class to increase the size of detectives. I think this council has been over... I mean, I think you've done a tremendous job of giving us the resources. We're just up against a real challenge. We have, you know, certain technologies that assist us in these investigations, but you can see what's going on at the federal level. You know, when Apple won't open a phone for the FBI for two terrorists that murdered people in cold blood, you know, this is what we're up against. And so if we want a phone opened at this point, you know, we're just at the we're at the whim of these brokers that will open them a phone $7,000, maybe $5,000, you know, and these phones are critical to our investigations now. They've replaced the witnesses of yesteryear. But we have to get the warrant. We have to do everything fair on its face, and we have to get into those phones because these people are cold-blooded killers.
Thank well, you. I've heard everything you said.
Yes, sir.
And I understand that, and to a certain extent, I empathize with it. On the other hand, we asked for these jobs. And I don't want to be deja vu. I don't want you to tell me 3 years from now that this... Pray for me.
Yes.
That this person is in jail for killing somebody else.
I certainly don't ever want to say those words either, Councilman. I'll do everything in my power. Did not have to say that.
Pastor.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Maybe this is not the appropriate place, but have you gone inside the prison systems? And
so I would not, in this environment, I would not like to detail how we do our investigations because it reveals information that is used against us at a later time by the criminal element.
Because sometimes you could get viable information from those.
Understood and agreed, sir.
You know what I mean?
I do indeed.
So that would be an area I would look at very carefully if you're not.
Well,
we are.
I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but I'm going to reiterate what you said. This council has supported everything that you, your predecessor, and presidents of FOPs have asked for. And so if we're doing our part, I think it's a realistic expectation that on matters of that set a precedent for other matters. Because as long as he's running around, all right, then he's in charge. And it was Rosegate last February. It could be a Powell Center. It could be my center tomorrow. So, you know,
enough.
Understood, sir.
You know, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. President.
Sometime on the way to Philadelphia Airport, I see the big billboard outside of Chester. Wanted for murder, X, Y, Z. Have we tried the billboard issue opportunity in Delaware?
We have, in certain cases, we've done that. We, as you know, we have a lot of money on the table. When we know who the suspect is, we don't need a billboard. All we need is the U.S. Marshals. We have certain systems that I cannot discuss at this time that we can track folks with, and we go and pick them up. That's the easy part. Once we know who they are, I mean, we can put a billboard up that says, you know, can you help us with Rose Hill? But you saw what we did with the media outlets trying to get everybody to understand.
You do know the suspect? Did I hear you correctly?
No. When we know the suspect,
you can do a billboard when you know the suspect.
If we know who the suspect is, we don't need a billboard. We'll just go get them. We've done that quite often. Whenever we've identified a suspect, and it doesn't have to be murder, we use the U.S. Marshals, which is why we have an officer embedded in the U.S. Marshals, to use their systems to track down these suspects. We've brought them back here from New York. We've brought them back from Pittsburgh. We've brought them back from quite a few places. That's why we have a U.S. Marshal sworn in, so that we can cross over state lines. We, of course, brought the murderer back from New York and the Hokesson homicide. I mean, that's what we do. As soon as we know who they are, we'll go get them.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything on the other? Anybody from the public? Councilman Smiley.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay, so.